Our big race on Saturday is the Mackell Cup out at Randwick with the recent run of good weather. That track is a good four. The early scratching out of the race is Index Linked, race 7, number 4. A little while later in the program, we'll talk to Paul Joyce to get some thoughts on this horse, Raw Impulse, who's about $1.55 right now with tab.com.au. We'll talk about that a little while later. The Doomben 10,000, it's a good four up there. The weather fine. The track penetrometer at the moment, 5.05, and there's no early scratchings. We'll give you some news snippets on both of those along the road. But first up, wanted to do something a bit different this morning. The two-year-olds are back in work aiming as three-year-olds for the spring, and one of those is this horse.
In the vanguard in front with 100 metres to run. Earth is rallying through on the inside of Kenny Rocket, fighting out a good battle for the miners, but In the Vanguard will lead all the way.
Yeah, he was good that day. In the Vanguard, he then ran second in the Sweet Embrace, and her trainer, John Sargent's online. Morning to you, John.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good to talk to you, mate. It's exciting when they come back in, and, you know, hopefully there's a really strong spring ahead.
Yeah, that's right, Andrew. We had a bit of a mishap after the second in the group race. She was found to have a little bone chip in the side of her knee, so we took that out, and she's had a very good break, probably 12 weeks, and she's all ready to start up a campaign for the spring.
Okay, that's a good break, and obviously the chip that was removed, it was these days that they're a simple operation, aren't they?
That's right. They just put in a couple of osteoscope in there and take it out like a soccer player, and you just have to give them a bit of time to heal, keep them in a box for a month, in a yard for a month, and out in the paddock for a month. But she's it's probably a blessing in disguise, Andrew. She's a lot bigger and stronger this time, and no, it'll be exciting times because we know she's got a lot of ability.
Well, I was going to say that. I mean, from the two trials going into the maiden win there at Canterbury, the expectation was pretty high, and she was able to lead that day and really control and show that turn of speed that we've now seen.
Yes, and probably in the Sweet Embrace, she maybe should have done the same, but we didn't want to get into a battle in front with Gay's horse, and in the end, Gay's got a nice soft lead, and we were sort of out a bit late to get it the winner. But look, she'll learn a lot from that, and now it'll be exciting times. We'll just monitor her knees the whole time. She'll do a lot of swimming and a bit less galloping, but you can get them very fit doing that.
Yeah, exactly. You mentioned, and I'm probably going to hear it a few times from trainers this morning, but she's developed really well into what she'll be, a three-year-old filly?
Yes, you see them change. Some do just average when they change from one year to the other. Some boom, and she's boom. She was always quite an athletic, light filly, but she's got a neck and a hind quarter on her now, Andrew, and she would have put on probably 70 kilos of, you know, not just fat, either muscle. So, No, it's good. You get a good Acosta, you get a good one. So, yeah, no, it's a pleasure to have her in the stables.
Her two runs were 1,100 and 1,200. How far do you think she can get in sort of a trip, John?
Be interesting to see if she got out to a mile, Andrew. Against her own age group, you can. So she doesn't rip into things in a track work or whatever. So be interesting to see we'll find out pretty soon whether she's just a sprint or we can get her out to a mile or two. Because she's not an over, you call her a med, she's 15.3. Yep. She's a medium-sized horse. You wouldn't think she'd probably get beyond a mile.
Yeah, okay. Well, we look forward to seeing her. It sounds like off that chip removed that she's had a good prep, and she's back in now?
Yep, she just came back in with actually another horse that had the same problem. Had one start for one when Love Me Baby. She had a nice one, all better Canberra, but it was the first start, and she's the same. So they came together. So I'll have a nice slow build up and plenty of time to get them ready if they're good enough to go to Melbourne, obviously.
Let's hope so. Just while I've got you, a couple here that Sir Owen Glenn have got interest in, Gust of Wind and Thunder Lady's been retired?
She's been retired. She goes to Criterion, Andrew, and Gust of Wind fibulated and its last start here at Randwick. So she's going to race in foal to Criterion, and we'll aim her for the Cup again in Melbourne. So that'll be interesting. I've raced quite a few horses in New Zealand in foal, and they seem to grow a leg, actually. So she's coming down next week to start work, and as soon as she's ready to be go to the breeding barn, she'll go up for the day to Criterion and come back. And I've had some good results with that, and with mares, you can race them till probably about the end of January in foal.
Okay, I was going to ask, is there a specific time? So she can certainly race on. There's no issue there with a forming foal inside that she can race on?
No, they don't. It seems to make them get bigger and stronger, actually, being in foal. So, but she'd just race through to Melbourne, and that would do her, and then she'll go to stud. But she's had a good break after that as well, and as I say, she comes down from Scone on Monday, and we'll build her up slowly.
Okay, well, we look forward to seeing her and Thunder Lady retired. And I've got to ask you, I see you got Coliseum King there on the weekend at Randwick.
Yes, that'll be interesting. At Scone, I thought the horse would win, and he cruised up, and I'm just wondering whether he is a miles' limit. But we thought one last go on our doorstep, over 2,000 on Saturday, and if he doesn't win there, he will be back to sort of 1,500 around that distance. But I think it's a good chance. He's fitting well, did a bit of jumping this morning, and got my apprentice on Matt McGillivray Grace will claim a couple, so he'll go in very light at the weights at 53.
He's got no excuse by the sounds of that on the weekend, Coliseum King.
Yes.
John, we'll stay in contact with In the Vanguard and a couple of others coming through for you. Good luck with the winter time. This is where the hard work is done, getting the horses fit so they can enjoy the spring.
Yeah, that's right, and you see your new ones coming through, so exciting times ahead. No, it's all good. Thanks, Andrew.
Good on you. Thanks a lot, John. John Sargent joining us there. There was a horse that In the Vanguard mentioned there, the Sweet Embrace. Scarlet Rain won the race. In the Vanguard ran second, and Tale of Choice ran third. Now, I spoke to Gerald Ryan about Tale of Choice. He said that the horse chipped a knee really badly back in February after that run and is probably off to stud, that we're unlikely to see Tale of Choice again, which is disappointing. But anyway, we'll wait and see, get a further update in a few weeks' time on Tale of Choice, the two-year-old filly that ran third in the Sweet Embrace. This is the next horse that we're going to talk about.
And Honesty Prevails picks up very quickly to hit the lead inside the 200. It's Honesty Prevails, a length and a half clear from Chapanda. Smart Amelia running on back to the inside, Nonpareil. But Honesty Prevails, following a cracking barrier trial win, is going to bolt up in the Whiddon Stakes.
Yeah, it was a really strong performance to win the Whiddon. At that stage, thoughts were high on the slipper. She ended up running fifth there behind Capitalist Beaten, about 2.5 lengths. And Rick Worthington's online. Morning to you, Rick.
Morning, Andrew. How are you?
Very well. People love a photo on social media, and you put the occasional one up of Honesty Prevails in the paddock, and when you do, they get plenty of retweets. There's plenty of people that like this filly.
Yeah, look, she's, we hope she's a filly, or we feel she's a filly with a lot of potential, and, given she's only had the 3 starts and I turned the tap off and put her out. She had a good 7.5-week spell, and she's 491 when she went out and 515 when she came back in.
Okay, righto. Are you happy? I mean, I just spoke to John Sargent, and the filly that we spoke about In the Vanguard's put on a lot more than that. I mean, they're all different types, aren't they?
Yeah, well, the thing is, she's still growing taller.
Yep.
And if you looked at her now, she's still got to fill out.
Yep.
For as silly as it may sound, I don't think it'll be until the spring after before, she's really matured to where she's going to be. And the positive to that is that, it confirms there's a lot of upside. I mean, she'll hopefully do some pretty good things between now and then, but she's still got a way to go in her development.
Yep. Okay. Now, in saying that, she's come back into your stable at this early stage?
Yeah, she's just come back in. She's just pottering around, just doing light canter work.
Yep.
She's not doing much. And the plan is for her to have a trial the third week of July, and then an easy trial, and another one the early August, and hopefully to kick off in the Silver Shadow on the 20th of August. And, you know, the ultimate plan for the spring, as I guess everyone would say, if they've got a three-year-old filly that they hope has potential, is to try and, you know, if I could sort of culminate in the Flight Stakes.
Yep.
On the 1st of October, that would be, anyway, that's the plan.
Yeah. You feel that she's going to get out to a mile, don't you? You've always thought that. Yeah.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. And look, given a few things that were going on in her prep, I know there's, you know, there's a lot of improvement for various reasons, and hopefully she gets a chance to show that in the spring.
Yeah, look, it's she's such an exciting type, and as you say, she'll just keep developing as we get through it. You've just to remind us of the story about purchasing her, Rick.
Yeah, well, the we purchased her at the Magic Millions, obviously,
yep.
For $720,000, and there's a gentleman by the name of Trevor Gluck, who I've known for many, many years. He used to have a shipping company. He's retired, lives in Melbourne, and had a stud years ago called Tremon Park. He contacted me and you know, sort of indicated he wanted to get back into horses and be active again in the industry, and said he was looking for a filly that had a pedigree that would enable her to be in the upper level in the breeding barn at a later stage if it worked out. So that was a criteria. And I mean, obviously, you've got to have an athlete.
Yep.
You can't train a pedigree page. So she was purchased at the Magic Millions for $720, and you know, I just loved her. I mean,
yeah.
she was, you know, John Hutchinson and I sort of, well, Trevor picked her out on paper, you
yeah.
know, with his homework he does at home, and then obviously John Hutchinson and I were doing the work on the ground at the sales, and it all matched and clicked together, and she was just an athlete, well balanced, and a filly that was still quite immature, that at that stage you were sort of hoping that she was going to develop.
Mm.
And that's the other reason why, even though she was in the Autumn Carnival and the plan was to sort of try and get her to the slipper, it was pretty low key because she was still quite immature. And it's one thing to do that, but it's another, not that I've had a runner in a slipper before, but obviously been in the industry for a long time, I've seen plenty of them that don't come back, and you know, she certainly hasn't been overtaxed, so she's got something on her resume now. She's already a group winner, and you can talk about all the reasons why, you know, did or didn't or could have been better, but she is, the fact is, she's already a group winner, and I'm fairly confident if, you know, the ball rolls the right way, that
she can be there again.
She'll add to that. And,
yeah.
And yeah, she's a filly with a lot of potential, a lot of promise.
Can't wait to see her back come July into August. Rick, thanks for your time this morning with Honesty
Pleasure.
Prevails. Good on you,
Thank
mate.
You.
Rick
Thank
Worthington there out at Warwick Farm. A couple of horses that Honesty Prevails was behind. French Fern was one of those in the Riesling, trained by David Payne. We told you yesterday, Chimbora, the two-year-old colt for David's been sold to Hong Kong. French Fern is heading towards, hopefully, the 1,000 guineas down in Melbourne. That's also the case with Samara Dancer. Remember that horse of Philip Stokes burst on the scene? Philip's in Hong Kong. We'll catch up with him next week or the week after, but Samara Dancer is another one that could be bound towards the 1,000 guineas. Our next guest, I wonder what, slightly forgotten. We only saw him three times. He won down the straight at Flemington, the Talon Dirt, and then he ran third in the Todman. He had a couple of barrier issues, and let's find out where he is. I talk of Weatherly and trainer Paul Massara. Morning to you, Paul.
Morning, Paul. Yeah, morning, Andrew. How are you?
Very well. How's he doing? I saw you at the Scone Carnival a couple of weeks ago and you said he'd just come back in?
Yeah, no, he's just come back in, just in some light work at the moment. I'm very happy with him. He's spelled extremely well. Very forward colt for his age and very happy with him in these early stages of his preparation.
I mentioned the barrier issues. What do you do coming back into a new preparation with him?
Yeah, we'll start on that pretty early on in the prep. Just get him back in there and get him comfortable. He kind of stumbled in his first start. He had jumped out very well in his barrier trials previous to that. Stumbled at his first start, came out almost too quickly and half tripped over. Then in his next start, when he won, the horse next to him went off just before the barriers opened, and he responded, probably in response to the horse next to him. And then he was slow away in his last one. So he had a couple of excuses early on. But prior to that, he hadn't done anything wrong. So it'll be interesting just to get his confidence up. I think we'll give him a couple of barrier trials this time in and do some gate work with him before he heads back to the races.
Golden Rose is the ultimate aim here early on in the spring?
Yeah, that's where we're headed. Probably the Rosebud and then the up-and-coming and then the end to the Golden Rose. So that'd be the kind of pattern we'd be looking at. And I'm pretty confident he's going to be an exciting three-year-old.
We would have had the surrounds of Scone there to enjoy some lush grass and things like that. How's he done in the break?
No, done really well. Very happy with him. He's a horse. He doesn't carry a huge amount of excess, but he's filled out, he's grown, and, I think he looks tremendous. So, right through last breath, he was kind of, not chin sore, but, he's after his last run in the Todman, he pulled up very shinny. And, we were forced to tip him out and not go onto the slipper, but that all behind him now. We should have an uninterrupted preparation and exciting horse.
How far does he get in trip?
I really don't know. I don't think there'll be a cap on him, really. I'd say he'd probably get a mile. He's always settled very well and has a very good turn of foot. He's one of the faster horses. Including your 10th year, just in terms of pure speed, he's a very fast horse. So it's going to be interesting. And, he's got that natural high cruising speed. So it will be interesting to see how far he can get. If he can get out over a trip, I think you're top class.
Well, you listen to Craig, Craig Williams, who rode Weatherly, and wherever the colt went, Craig wanted to go. I think that tells us that he had a good opinion as well going forward.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He was one of those horses. He's one of those horses that I don't think I've trained many with as much potential as him. So pretty exciting.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so a couple of jump outs, and we'll head towards the Rosebud up and coming, and hopefully the Golden Rose in a perfect world. And the one thing that I took from your comments there, while I mentioned barrier incidents, those first couple weren't his fault.
No, that's right. Yeah. I had to be forgiving, and I kind of, with not a lot of time between races, it wasn't as though we were able to do too much work with him because obviously we didn't want to put too much pressure on his shins and give the horse to do too much. It was only a juvenile, so we kind of gave him the benefit of the doubt. But this time around, we'll have plenty of time to get back to the barriers and do plenty of work on him before we head back to the races.
Looking forward to seeing him again. Thanks a lot, Paul.
Thanks very much, Andrew.
Paul Massara there with an update on Weatherly. Spoke with John O'Shea about a couple of two-year-olds that he's run in recent weeks. Chipanda is going to the Lancaster on June 11 at Eagle Farm, so you can take Chipanda out of the sire's produce. It won't be running there. It'll go on the same day, but in the Lancaster. Remember Manea, who won at Scone. John had a couple of horses not far behind Manea. One of those is Raymond. It's going to be running at Warwick Farm next Wednesday, so a lot of interest in the form lines around Manea, and Raymond runs at Warwick Farm next Wednesday. And the other one is Non Pareil, who we've seen a couple of times mixed in with horses that we've discussed this morning. It's going to run in town, when is it? Saturday week. I've written here Saturday week. So there's a few little extra snippets there from the two-year-olds that are racing and a few that are heading back to track work now, looming up as three-year-olds. Playing a part in the next few weeks is going to be the Magic Millions National Sale, and Vin Cox is joining us, the Managing Director of M&M. Morning to you, Vin.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew. How are you?
How you been?
I've been all right, yeah. No, long time no chat.
Yeah, we haven't spoken for ages. It's a revolving door, this. We move on one thing to the other and we bounce along and then suddenly, gee, I haven't spoken to him for months.
No, and here we are. We've got a big couple of weeks ahead of us.
Well, when does it start and how long does it go?
We start on Sunday with our weanlings, Sunday, Monday weanlings. Dark Day Tuesday, then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday's race fillies and mares. The following, so we go the races on Saturday, then Sunday we come back for our general mares. Dark Day again on Monday, and then Tuesday, Wednesday yearlings, and then Thursday's race horses, and then we knock off might have a bit.
Yeah, I reckon you might. So that's nearly 2 weeks.
It's just short of 2 weeks.
Just short of two. Okay. Thanks to your media man that gives us all the right mail, Greg Irvine. I've got a list here of some of the horses that are going through, particularly the broodmares, and a lot of our listeners will know these horses, like Bounding, Pasadena Girl, and Precious Gem is going through the sale, and who knows, could go on and maybe run again during the winter carnival after the sale.
Yeah, well, there was plenty of she's the last start Group 1 winner down in South Australia, and I believe Henry Dwyer's still got her in work and aiming at some other races. But Perignon's another one. She raced last Saturday, and she's still in work. Crystal Flute, who's from the great Teeley family, She won at Canterbury two starts ago and is still in work and looking like heading for something up here in Queensland. So there's plenty of fillies in that catalogue that are still racing and still able to win plenty of black type and all races.
And that's the key. I was talking to Henry Dwyer off air earlier in the week with Precious Gem that he's continued to keep her in work. Obviously was headed for Saturday but not running. But whoever purchased Precious Gem could easily go to Eagle Farm and try and win a Group 1.
Absolutely. I mean, a race like the Tiara, the Tats Tiara, is an obvious choice for her. She's already a Group 1 winner, so there's not much more you need to add to it, but it'll be a nice cherry on top, as it were.
Yeah, exactly. There's some of the Group 1s. Bounding was the New Zealand horse that came across Peter and Paul Snowden, and I think her last couple of runs basically showed that she'd had enough and the broodmare barn was calling upon her, but she's a really strong mare, wasn't she?
Yeah, a very good-looking mare. We sold her mother a couple of years ago, and Coolmore bought her from memory for about 1.112.
Yep.
She's a Group 1 winner herself. She's out of a stakes-winning mare. It's a very, very strong family, an American family. She'll command a lot of interest. And the fact that she's a Group 1 winner is really going to bring it to the top.
Yeah, for sure. I'm just going through the list here. People will know these. They're Group 2 winners, Alpha Miss, Bring Me the Maid, Perignon, as you mentioned, Estonian Princess, Peace Force. There's listed winners as well. There's a long list. There's one here that I'm just trying to get the form up on my computer while I'm talking to you. Fontaton. Robert Smurden, who trained Fontaton, the three-year-old filly?
Yeah, Smurden, you're dead right.
Smurden,
there.
Yeah, okay.
Outstanding two-year-old.
Yeah.
I haven't seen her myself, but people tell me she's as good-looking mare as you'll ever see. And she, too, from a good, solid winning family. She's a stakes winner or two, and being a good-looking sort, I'd see plenty of people being interested in her.
She won the Blue Diamond previous, going back to January 2015. She won two of those and then ran fifth in the Blue Diamond behind Pride of Dubai. So she was certainly up and going early, which is a key these days. There's some of the potential brood mares going through. What about racehorses themselves, Vin?
We've got the racehorse part is on Thursday, 2 weeks
today. Yep.
We've got a good selection from obviously a lot of local trainers up here.
Yep.
Godolphin have got a bunch in there. I wouldn't say there's any highlights as such, but
yep.
But people looking for horses to race further afield, there'd be plenty of opportunity there. It's a sale that, you know, averages somewhere around that 10 grand mark. The top of it'll be probably 100, 120, something like that, but most horses will be selling in and around $10,000 to $20,000 range.
Okay, and you mentioned it kicks off on Sunday.
We kick off on Sunday with the weanlings. The 2 days of weanlings, very, very high profile, a lot of horses. It's a market that's become a lot more sophisticated over the last few years. And so 15 years ago, the weanling sale was more a cull market. Now it's a legitimate trading market. There are people that are selling their entire drafts in this sale, which gives people a lot more confidence that whether it's a pin hooker or an end user, and we've got buyers coming from all over the world to attend the weanling sale. So it's a great opportunity for people to obviously sell there, but the people looking to trade, or as I say, go to the races with a horse, you get in a bit earlier.
Yeah, for sure. Mate, we'll chat a couple of times next week and update on how it goes. The Magic Millions National Sale begins on the Gold Coast on Sunday, and as we've spoken about, some really nice mares going through, and as I say, kicks off on Sunday. We'll talk to you next week, Vin.
Good on you, Andrew. Appreciate
Thanks a lot, mate. Vin Cox, Managing Director of Magic Millions. An update on Samantha Clinton. She underwent that collarbone operation yesterday. It all went well, according to Sam this morning. She's going for an MRI scan later today on her left knee, and more importantly, lower back. That's her biggest concern right now. So MRI scan on left knee and lower back, but as a part of that operation on the collarbone, everything went to plan yesterday. Well, great to have him online. Mick Dipman, a four-time winner of the Doomben 10,000 that we see on Saturday. Morning to you, Mick. Thanks very much for joining us.
Morning, Andrew. It's a pleasure.
What a thrill it would have been starting off your career in Brisbane and to win the 1973 Doomben 10,000 on a 33-1 chance, Mick.
Yes, it certainly was a thrill, Andrew. She's going back a while there now.
Craig Oler is the horse. Are my stats right here that you carried in the 1973 Doomben 10,000 only 46.5 kilos?
Yes, that'd be right. Back in those days, I was very light, Andrew.
See, and how old were you?
I think I'd just turned 21 because I remember I had to go to a wedding of a friend of my wife's in Mackay, and I'm sure my birthday was the next day after I won the 10,000. So that'd be about right.
Gee, mate, you were light, weren't you, even at that age?
Yes, I'd like to have those days over again. But as I got older, I got heavier, like everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. I think, remind me, was that your first or second Group 1?
I think it was my second, Andrew. I won the Doomben Cup on knee high, and I think it might have been the previous year to that.
Well, I'm glad you said that because I went looking last night, and obviously the stats back in those times aren't as good as what we've got now, but I had knee high winning the 72 Doomben Cup, and I just wasn't too sure whether it was before or after.
Yes, well, I always thought it was before, but I thought my first Group 1 winner was knee-high. But
knee-high, yeah.
I make a few blues too.
Mate, what can you remember of winning your Doomben 10,000, your first one back in that time?
Well, I fluked the ride on the horse for starters. Andrew was quite unique. I didn't have a ride in the race, and the guy that was riding, Kerry Smith, he used to ride very light too, and he got a suspension, and then I finished up on him in the last week. So, I never thought he had much of a chance at that time. But I remember watching him race before that 10,000, and he was a tricky horse to ride work, and he was a horse that used to want to go too hard in his races. But that particular day, like he sprung out the barrier like a dart and led, and no weight in his back, just cleared out and beat him easy. So he was on his peak performance that day.
Yeah, well, you're right. With no weight on his back, 46.5. Mick Dipman then won his second Doomben 10,000 on Sovereign Red, then Lord Ballina, and the last was Chief De Beers. And, of course, for Jeff Murphy, Tommy Smith, two of those. I mean, even when you were based in Queensland, you were riding for some of the leading trainers, Mick.
Yes, from an early age, I started to get amongst the good racers, but we had some great trainers around that time, Roy Dawson and Jim Griffiths, and like Henry Davis. You just go on and on, Fred Best. So I was lucky enough to ride for just about all of them. So I really was in a lovely position in those times.
Chief De Beers, as we know, was a lover of Doomben. You jumped on for, and he started favourite this day. This was the last of your four in 1995. How good must this horse have been at Doomben?
Yes, he was outstanding. He just seemed to love it. That particular day, he grew 17 barrier. But, it's not too bad a start from that seven less position and, long way down to the first corner. So if you can have a bit of luck, you can always get a good position. But he was a very fast horse out the barrier, and he was a fast horse early. You could put him almost anywhere. And, of course, they went fast that day. They moved along pretty quick in the race. He slotted into about fifth position with the run of the race. So, yeah, pleasure to ride for those people, the Greens. You know, they just love their racing. And he was such a great horse for them. I got a great thrill that day because he bolted in too. I think he ran away and beat them four or five lengths.
Well, not surprising there at Doomben. We're focusing in, I suppose, on the Doomben 10,000, given that it's on Saturday, Mick, but you had great success, not only as a young kid growing through, but you rode Schomeld and Igloo, won a Brisbane Cup for TJ Smith. There were some enormous times right through your Brisbane Winter Carnival.
Yes, I was very fortunate, Andrew. I started to ride for some of the leading trainers, especially Tommy Smith from down south. He used to bring a team up. And I remember riding a horse called Shaney Walk. I won the Doomben Cup on. And of course, then I won the Derby on him too. He's only a three-year-old. So from an early stage, I was sort of getting amongst the bigger stuff for those bigger trainers. So I had a very, very fortunate career.
Did you get the chance that you were pinching yourself that it was happening? You know, your early 20s, you're riding and between that age group and moving to Sydney, this is fantastic.
Yes, no doubt. I did. It was just many a day there. I couldn't believe what was happening. You know, it was just unfolding like it was coming out of a book. So, I think you got to go through your career without getting injured or injured too much. And, you know, I did that. I went right through, never had too many injuries, and rode for a lot of trainers right throughout Australia. So I just had an enormous career. And my favourite carnival was always Queensland. Like, I used to love going back, even when I was riding in Sydney full-time. As get back to Brisbane at that early time of winter and used to get those beautiful, sharp, sunny days, and absolutely magic. I still miss it.
Yeah, I reckon just listening to you, I'm even missing. I want to be there right now. You moved to Sydney when you were 33 years of age, but you've just made a point there that you always liked going back. You always had a horse that you could go back to the Brisbane Carnival with?
Yes, almost always. I rarely missed a Brisbane Carnival, and most of the time I used to stay on up there too. You know, it probably cost me a couple of premierships in Sydney, but I used to stay right through. I used to get there early, and Tommy never used to mind. Sometimes I'd flip back for a Wednesday meeting or something, but I'd almost do the whole carnival, and I just loved it. I always had a home there at the Gold Coast or Brisbane, and I used to look forward to it.
Mate, obviously, Luke is one that you're following. He's got a bit of height, and he's got to work on his weight and things like that. At the moment, he's hoping to ride on Saturday. He's got a swollen knee. The swelling's come down, but a horse flipped over on him on Tuesday. But your interest in racing or going into a carnival like Saturday, the 10,000, you watch them all, Mick?
Yes, they show most of the races. I'm living here in Singapore now, and they will show most of the races, especially the major ones. So I'll be watching with interest because Luke's got rides on most of the days, and even if he's not in the big ones, which I still am very keen to watch him ride. He's riding very well, even though he's tall and he has a few weight problems. He's riding extremely well. He's really got his timing and his riding ability going in a great, great order.
Yeah,
very proud of him.
Yeah, no, so you should be. I hesitate with one final one because it's away from what we've been talking about, but you had the name The Enforcer. Could you have ridden under the rules that we've got now?
Good question. But I think, you've got to abide by the rules, Andrew, and we changed the suit. Obviously, I'd have got plenty of fines, but I think I'd have learnt.
You would have learnt quickly enough?
I think so. I think those fines make you pick it up pretty quickly.
Yeah, no, it does. Great reminiscing for a few minutes. Good to talk to you. As you started off with Craig Oler, back in 1973, winning your first Doomben 10,000, George Moore is the only other jockey. He won five. You've won four. And three other jockeys, including John Marshall, Michael Palling, and Noel McCrowdy, all won three. So you're right there in the record books. We thank you for your time. Mick, safe travels down to watch them on the weekend.
Thank you very much, Andrew. It's a pleasure.
Good on you, Mick. Mick Dipman joining us there from Singapore. Just wanted to spend two or three minutes with Paul Joyce on this Mackell Cup on Saturday. Paul, we've got $1.55 for Raw Impulse. Should it be that price?
Yeah, g'day, Andrew. It's an interesting race. It's definitely the highlight at Randwick on Saturday. And actually, I just checked tab.com.au. It's into $1.50.
Oh,
the money just keeps coming for him, doesn't it, Darren Weir? Undefeated stayer since starting in Australia at Moonee Valley over 1,500. Look, I always try and get favourites beaten, as you know, Andrew, but I just can't get this one beat. From what I've seen, he does everything you'd want a stayer to do. He settles beautifully in his races. He's got a great turn of foot when asked. And he can make one or two runs in a race, and he's come up with the ideal barrier four. And I think the key with him at this stage, he gets in on 54 kilos. He's working very quickly through the handicap ratings, but he's not there yet where he's obviously going to end up. So they are the sort of horses you like to find, those progressive horses that are charging through the grade. Unfortunately, everyone else has found him. We're getting $1.50. The way I punt, Andrew, look, well, I wouldn't put, you know, a huge chunk of my betting bank on him straight out on Saturday, because if he wins, there's not a lot of upside. And if he happened to get beaten, that's a big downside. So I'd probably play him as anchoring him in things like quaddies. I'll stand him out in the trifecta and look for a bit of value in the place getters. So that's probably the way I'll play that race. But, yeah, is he going to win? I would think he will.
OK, two things here. Sydney direction form. Previously, and also, I mean, this is the first time that he's gone to this trip at all.
Yeah, look, I think that's the big thing, the 2,400 metres. Whether or not he handles the Sydney way, look, I expect he will. I haven't gone through all his European replays to see if he's raced this way before, but obviously he's raced three starts in Melbourne. He's handled that beautifully. I think he'll get around Randwick. It's a nice big track with plenty of room. Will he run 2,400 on what we've seen? You'd say he would for sure. I mean, he's just... He just has that really sharp turn of foot, and then he goes right on with the job. Over 2,000 last out, he was getting further in front as they went through the line. So I'd say he would. And don't forget, this horse would have been almost favourite for the Doomben Cup if they'd gone that way 7 days ago in a weight for age race. Here he is carrying 54 in a handicap. So, you know, I think they took the right path holding him back and going this way, because the bigger fish will come for this horse, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, look, he's a horse that I know the owners have bought to race in the big racing come the spring. They're working through, as you mentioned, the benchmark system and see how far he can get. And, look, if there's any thoughts of showers, talking with Jamie Lovett from Australian Bloodstock, if there's any showers on Saturday, that's also a big plus.
Yeah, well, they have forecast a few showers, and as we know, Randwick, you know, probably won't handle any rain really well on race day, so that won't be a problem for him. Mm. So, look, I'm not telling punters not to take $1.50. Personally, I wouldn't load up at that price, but yes, I think he'll win. Yes, I'll anchor him in the quaddy, and I'll stand him out in the trifecta. If you want a couple of roughies for the trifecta, number two, Opinion, and I thought number 13, Zatapaz, they're sort of 100-1 and 25-1. Both of those are genuine place chances. So, you know, if you stand him out from four or five in a trifecta, you can still get a decent collect. But not such a big outlay. So that's the way I'll be playing.
All right. Now, Paul Joyce's podcast preview is already up for the legs of the quaddie at Randwick. You can go to skysportsradio.com.au. He goes through each of the quaddies. It's there under the radio podcast area, your podcast preview. And, Paul, you're on tonight. Duff on, or have you pushed Duff off form line?
No, I'm on with Duff. I've been very privileged to be asked to come on Formline tonight on Sky Thoroughbred Central, so I'm really looking forward to that opportunity. I think Michael Fraser's having the week off, so
okay.
I'll be jumping in the chair there, speaking to the Duff, and obviously Darren Flindell, and getting all the odds from Glenn Munsey. So hopefully we can keep Munsey on time, Andrew.
Yeah, good luck with that one and your TV appearance tonight. We'll chat to you again on Saturday. Thanks a lot, Paul.
No, my pleasure. Thanks, Andrew.
Paul Joyce there. $1.50 raw impulse, and the punters are landing at $1.55. So now into $1.50 with tab fixed odds in the Mackell Cup. That track is rated a good four, as it is at Doomben. There's no early scratchings for the big meeting in Brisbane.